It doesn't take an extraordinary experience to make health feel like an extraordinary blessing. Even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
Have you noticed that you have varicose veins, whether or not you don't like the way that they look or they're actually causing you pain and complications? My guest is Dr. David Kawanishi. He's an interventional cardiologist and vascular disease specialist at Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kawanishi. Let's speak about treatment. Once a person, I'm going to say a woman, just because it's more common for women, but once somebody has decided to go for treatment for their varicose veins, tell us what kinds of treatments out there and what can they expect.
Okay, thanks, Melanie. Pleasure to be here. The main treatment modalities for the long source veins for varicose veins, which we call the saphenous veins, is what we call endovenous ablation. That's a term that just essentially describes that we put a device inside the long straight veins that are the cause of the high pressure that causes the varicose veins. And we use this device to close the vein permanently. The two major techniques we have available are either a laser or radio frequency. Both of those generate heat, and it's the heat that causes the injury to the inside of the vein that eventually leads to permanent closure.
Now, is this an easy procedure, what you've just described?
Yes, actually, this is an evolutionary technique that's come about maybe in the last decade, and it has, in most places, supplanted the old-fashioned venous ligation and stripping procedure that used to require surgery under general anesthesia. These are done as an outpatient now with either the radio frequency or the laser. It's done local anesthesia. The patient is awake, and the whole thing takes maybe half an hour to do the procedure, and with about that much time for the preparation. The whole thing takes about an hour. The nice thing about it is that when you're done, we just put a Band-Aid on the hole that we went in through. You put some compression stockings on, you get up, and you immediately walk. And the instructions are to walk as much as you can for the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow. And what is the recovery like? Do you have to kind of keep it cool for the first couple of days?
Well, actually, you actually start feeling better faster if you move. So there's really no downtime. The only restriction is that because you're wearing a compression stocking for the first 3 weeks, and by the way, it's around the clock for the first 3 days, we ask you not to make long-distance travels, and we're talking, you know, transcontinental or intercontinental flights, because there's a risk of being still and not moving for long periods of time. Then you have a little potential problem with complications. Otherwise, the more you walk, the better.
The more you walk, the better. Well, and that's a good preventive technique or, you know, kind of lifestyle thing to do if you're somebody who is at risk for varicose veins. Tell us another, and the one that you were just discussing is called what again for the listeners?
We call it endovenous ablation, and various labs will use either a laser or radio frequency to do the ablation, and that's just to create the heat. It's two different ways of creating the thermal or heat injury to the inside of the vein.
And they call that EVLA, right?
Yes, EVLA for the laser or RFA for the radio frequency.
Okay, so now what else can you have done? Are you still doing sclerotherapy or, you know, things along these lines, ultrasound-guided ways? Tell us some more treatments that people can use if the EVLA is not for them or EVLA.
Right. Well, even if we do that, because those devices are using long catheters, as you know, most varicose veins are going to be the twisty, more small diameter ones that you can see on the skin or just below the skin. And for those, you can't put a long straight device into. We do chemical ablations using injections under ultrasound. And we also will occasionally do what we call a phlebectomy. That's the old-fashioned surgical technique of making a small skin incision and just pulling the veins out. We do the choice between one or the other is kind of depends on the technical aspects of where the veins are, how big they are, and actually with the phlebectomy technique of just pulling them, we do that occasionally because it gives a quicker and a better cosmetic result sometimes. The chemical ablations we do all under ultrasound so we can see what, make sure that we know what we're injecting. And when we do the chemical injections, you can actually see certain chemicals that we prepare for injections under the ultrasound, so you can actually tell where you, where the chemical went.
And what does the chemical do in the chemical, in the ultrasound guided chemical ablation? What is that actually doing, the chemical?
Yeah, it turns out that you're doing pretty much the same thing as you do with the laser or radio frequency, but the injury or damage that causes closure of the vein is, in this case, caused by the chemical rather than the heat from the other devices. So if the bottom line mechanism is almost the same. It's just a different way of making the vein close permanently.
So it's like how, I mean, I'm not sure if this is a good analogy, but how a plumber would close off a leak with that foam that they squirt in there.
Yeah, if you don't have a big a pipe that you can get your arms into and patch from the inside like you do, you know, then with the smaller ones, you'll have to inject something. And that's a pretty good analogy for what we do.
Wow, that's just really amazing. Now, in the stripping and phlebectomy, is there any complications to that? I mean, if you're taking this vein, grabbing it, I mean, is there anything that can happen, risks, complications?
Well, since you're making a skin incision like any other surgical procedure, major or minor, there's going to be a risk of infections. You always have a little bit of a risk of bleeding. But interestingly enough, when you go and hook the veins and start to pull them, the first thing the vein does is spasm, and that just pushes the blood out of it. So we often have very minimal bleeding, and that's actually one of the things you're trying to do that promotes vein closure as well, the spasm. So the vein immediately spasms, then we hook it and just start pulling it out, and very, very little, actually. It's not as messy a procedure as it sounds.
It does sound, no, but don't we need that vein? Does our body find other sources, collateral circulation, ways to go around if that vein is no longer there?
Yes. Well, as we discussed in the previous sessions, these veins that we're treating with ablation or phlebectomy are malfunctioning veins. The function of a normal vein is to carry blood upward toward the heart, and these veins are malfunctioning, allowing the blood to come back down by gravity because they're incompetent. So since they are malfunctioning, you can sacrifice these veins, and unless your leg is exploding and getting bigger and bigger all the time, we know that there has to be normal channels for the blood to be making its way back to the heart. So you take out these malfunctioning veins, and you just then go on with the working with the normal functioning veins that are still present.
Now, if you treat those malfunctioning veins, if you treat varicose veins, Dr. Kawanishi, then do they ever come back, or are the other veins that are surrounding the area more susceptible then to becoming varicose themselves?
Yes. Well, if you have varicose veins, that means that you have some predisposing factors combined with a genetic risk. You know, a lot of patients who have varicose veins, they know that they come from a family of relatives who have varicose veins. So that genetic risk background is going to always be there. However, not everyone with the genetic risk gets varicose veins. So we know that there are other factors involved, and those are those kinds of things or activities that you do that could just traumatize or stress the vein, such as prolonged periods of standing, not moving, you know, in other words, stasis or poor flow in the veins, or even mechanical damage. You know, occasionally we see these varicose veins after some kind of an injury, soccer injuries, sports injuries, things like that.
Now, what about graduated compression stockings? We've mentioned compression stockings before. We don't have much time, Dr. Kawanishi, but tell about, I mean, do we gradually get tighter or looser with compression socks?
Yeah, well, actually, there are various grades of compression. We actually prescribe them based on millimeters mercury of compression, and they go from light to heavy with a maximum of about 30, 40 millimeters mercury, which can, for some people, be really tight and make your eyeballs pop out. So, but sometimes that's what's needed to control the bulging of the veins. And what we call them graduated compression stockings because these are more than the kind of regular support hose that you might get. They're specially designed to be more compressive down at the bottom and to facilitate or encourage the flow upwards, so the compression is a little bit less as you move up and up higher to the thigh.
Dr. Kawanishi, in the last 30 seconds, wrap up treatments and your best advice for varicose veins.
I would encourage anyone with symptoms from their varicose veins, pain, aching, heaviness, to consider this, because the treatment now is much easier, a lot less stressful, and more effective than the old surgery. So there's no reason to not try to improve your life by getting these taken care of.
And you are listening to Mission Radio. For more information on Mission Hospital, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission4health.com. Check it out. There's many great shows on there. Scroll around. Learn something with us. This is Melanie Cole for Mission Hospital. Have a great day.